Well, let's take our Bibles and let's turn to Romans chapter number 12. Once again, mentioned this morning that the second most downloaded sermon on our sermon audio site is from when I preached on the last half of Romans 12:2, almost 13 years ago, when I was preaching through the book of Romans. And that sermon's been downloaded 506 times. And I tell you that not as a matter of pride, but as a matter of interest. I think it shows that folks are interested in that transformation process. I think that's what it shows. And thus far, we have seen that the Apostle Paul calls for believers to prove God's will in their life by, number one, presenting their bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, and by, number two, not being conformed to this world. And tonight we want to look at Paul's third admonition found in verse number 2 as we talk about proving God's will in our life. And it's done by, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's read verses 1 and 2 here. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does it mean to be transformed? Transformed means to change into a different form. It comes from the Greek word metamorpho, which where we get our word metamorphosis from. I think we're familiar with that word. That is the transformation that takes place when an old ugly caterpillar forms a cocoon and in process of time transforms into a beautiful butterfly. That is metamorphosis. Also, remember the toys that came back in the 1980s called the Transformers? I saw that they're still on the market. I actually was walking in Walmart this past week, and there must still be some TV shows or movies that are coming out. They're there when what they do is those the things just change from one thing into another. They call them transformers. When I was a kid, we used a different kind of transformer to convert electricity into a different form that could be used for a particular purpose, like a train track, amen, or a racetrack. And you had to have a transformer to do that. That was my kind of transformer growing up. When Paul speaks of believers being transformed here, he's talking about the process whereby we are changed in more into the likeness of Christ, especially with regard to our mind. Now, I've given you a handout because the points that we have here are kind of long, and I know some of you take notes, and it's kind of difficult to take notes whenever you have long points, and it lengthens the message if I have to repeat them. And I like for you to be able to have it in hand and also have the passages that I use to support the thoughts that I'm bringing to you from God's Word. I'm not preaching my ideas. I'm preaching to you the Word of God. So let's take a look at some things. What is the mind? Well, Dr. Charles Ryrie, in his book, Balancing the Christian Life, says, quote, "The words used in the Old and New Testaments for mind express a variety of ideas. The Bible has no word for brain. Therefore, the concept of the mind does not mean the physical organ, but the varied functions of intellect, volition, and emotions that are associated with mind in the Scripture." So, three things. The mind involves the intellect. Intellect has to do with our ability to reason, to know, and to think. That's what separates us from other animals. I mean, we have that ability to reason things through. The mind involves the emotions. Emotions have to do with our feelings, and there are all kinds of feelings we could talk about, feelings of love and fear and happiness and sadness and anger and joy, among others, just to name a few. We could be here talking for emotions for a while. If you want to look at how many emotions there are, look in your computer at the emoticons. Those are supposed to be based upon the emotions you might have when you are trying to express it on your Facebook page or something like that. There's a bunch of them. and trying to find the one that you want to express what you have in mind is kind of difficult sometimes. But we know what emotions are, don't we? We know them when we feel them. we know when we got them. The mind also involves the will. And our will involves our ability to decide or make decisions and initiate actions based on those decisions. We have a purpose in mind. So intellect, emotions, and will, that's what the mind is made of. Why does the mind need to be renewed? Now here's the important stuff here. Number one, our mind needs to be renewed because the mind of our old nature, when I say our old nature, we're talking about the old man, what we were before we got saved. Our old nature is still corrupt even after we get saved. We didn't lose the old nature. We have to set the old nature aside and put on the new man. Set the old man aside, take on the new man. Romans 8, verse number 7 says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. Now, if we're honest, we know that one of our greatest struggles is with our thought lives. Am I right? I know it's true in my own life. And that's where I struggle the most, is with my thoughts. Daily, we combat with thoughts of worry, doubt, fear, lust, evil thoughts, anger, malice, bitterness. I mean, we could just be on here all night long going through those things. Think of the works of the flesh that Galatians 5 talks about. Those are the kind of things we're talking about. Our mind needs to be renewed, second of all, because of the effects of wrong programming. Now, we were blessed when personal computers first came out. Our parents bought us a computer because they wanted our kids, their grandkids, to grow up. They knew that this was going to be a computer society, and they wanted them to know and learn computers. Well, there's a computer terminology called GIGO, G-I-G-O. It means garbage in, garbage out. How well do I know that? Many times you put things in there and you ask computer tech, what's wrong with my computer? And he tells you, well, it's a computer operator error is what it is, or something along those lines. Garbage in, garbage out. Scientists have called the human mind the most complex living mechanism in the world. Our brain is the most influential organ of our body. As it goes, so goes our ability to carry on a good life. And I learned that experientially 20 years ago on this very weekend. It was 20 years ago on this weekend that I had a light stroke. I woke up on a Saturday morning, had a stroke. Thankfully, it was only light, and I was able to get over most of the effects of it within 2 weeks' time. Praise the Lord for that. But, you know, I couldn't do the things that I wanted to do. The transmitter transmitting from my brain down to my hand or to my mouth was not working properly. There was a disconnect there. Our brain accounts for our ability to think, remember, love, hate, feel, reason, imagine, and analyze. The average brain, we know, weighs about 3 pounds. I hope I got at least the average brain. Amen. But it contains some, listen to this, 12 billion cells. 12 billion cells. Each of those 12 billion cells is connected to 10,000 other brain cells, totaling some 120 trillion brain connections. That's wild, isn't it? Think about that. Is it any wonder that the scientists have stated that the human brain is the most complex arrangement of matter in the universe? Yet someone will say, well, it just happened, you know. We just evolved into this. No, 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 no. God created. Some have compared the human brain to a sophisticated computer. But the last time I checked, technology still hasn't come close to duplicating its capabilities. According to Dr. Tim LaHaye, he wrote the book Mind Siege. He said that the man who holds over 50 patents on the IBM computer. A fellow by the name of Dr. Gerard Dirks says that he acquired most of his inventive ideas from studying the functions of the human brain. Studied the human brain, he came up with his ideas for the computer. Commenting on its complexity, he stated, quote, "If we could invent a computer that would duplicate the capabilities of the human brain, it would take a structure the size of the Empire State Building just to house it." Now, I know times have changed since he wrote that book and since that statement was made. You could probably put it in a lot less space because that's how technology has gone. But they haven't been able to duplicate it that I know of. Our brain supervises everything we do, from the involuntary beat of our heart. Aren't you glad you don't have to think about your heart beating? I mean, it just does, until God says it don't. It just does. And to the conscious decisions we make of life. It controls our hearing, our sight, our smell, our speech, our eating, resting, learning, prejudices, and everything that makes us behave as we do. They're all centered in the brain, in the mind. And our eyes and our ears are the primary avenues that receive information that programs our minds and thereby influences our life. One aspect of the human mind can be illustrated by just a simple file cabinet. I got several file cabinets in my office and some other places in the church, and I put a lot of them to use, filing stuff away. But your mind is also a file cabinet, and whether you realize it or not, the things are recorded there. What we see and hear influences the thoughts of our mind, and our mind determines our actions. Everything that we see, hear, touch, taste, and smell is recorded on the lobes of our brain. And it works quickly most of the time. I mean, if I was to say something like 9/11, what came into your mind right then? Those planes going into the buildings? And yeah. When I say orange, what comes to your mind? Well, it could be the color, it could be the fruit, right? When I say pig pen, some of you might not know what I'm talking about if you ain't been around one, but I can smell it in my brain. I've been around pig pen so long, raising hogs. It's not a good smell. But nobody has to tell me what a pig pen smells like. I know, because it's indelibly recorded in my mind. When I first got into the ministry, I did a lot of ministry in the nursing homes. Old people in the nursing homes sometimes rattle on and they rattle subconsciously about events and people they may have long forgotten about. And they'll tell it to you over and over and over. It's like a record stuck in one place. Some information remains in our subconscious files and can't be recalled at will as those that are in our conscious section can be. But sometimes some of those things can be jogged up out of your memory. Ever been walking down the department store or mall and a certain song play, or you smell a certain smell, and your mind goes back in history, you know, to maybe a time many years ago? That's what I'm talking about. Something as simple as sight, smell, taste, or sound can draw back those conscious thoughts. Now understand that because everything we see and hear is indelibly recorded in our mind, and the things recorded on our mind influence how we think, and our thinking influences our behavior, then it's of utmost importance that we guard our mind, right? I'm going to say that one again, okay? I don't think that's on your notes there, but I'm going to say it again. Everything we see and hear is indelibly recorded in our mind. The things recorded on our mind influence how we think, and our thinking influences our behavior, So it's of utmost importance that we guard our mind. I'll give you an example. Those of you that are young enough to remember Ted Bundy, not a good name, in Florida especially. His interview, remember the interview he had with Dr. James Dobson? And one of the big things that came out of the interview was the effect that pornography had on his life. And you may say, well, he was just trying to make an excuse. Well, he was making a point. It's not an excuse. You don't excuse the man for doing what he did. But could that have affected him becoming what he did? Yeah, what he was? James 1, verse 14 and 15 says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." I grew up in the rock and roll generation of the music of the 1960s and 1970s, and some of the rock and roll music of the 60s and forward have escalated perverted sex, rebellion, drugs, and the occult. And many have reaped what has been sown there. A lot of this stuff that we see in our news today, it has its roots back during that time. There are numerous examples of people viewing television programs and movies and then acting them out. Many people who wouldn't think to act out what they view are still affected by Hollywood's liberal agenda. And you know, they are trying to get you to think in a certain direction and to act a certain way. And if you don't believe it, you ought to turn it off for a while and then come back later. But my wife and I, when we first got married, we didn't have TV set. So how in the world did you live without a TV set? It was a choice. We chose not to that first year. And when we turned it back on, it was like a shock factor. It was like, whoa. We thought things had really changed in a year, but what had changed is we had changed. Never forget the verse in 1 Corinthians 15:33 that says, "Evil communications corrupt good manners." Now, remember, 1 Corinthians 15, there were people going around saying that the resurrection wasn't a real thing. That affected the way that they lived. That affected what they were that they weren't looking for the Lord to come back. Evil communications, when you receive evil communications, it can corrupt the way that you live. So what are you programming your mind with? We need to be careful what we read, what we watch, what we listen to. So why does the mind need to be renewed? Well, because of the effects of wrong programming. And the third thing here is our mind needs to be renewed because all of our lives, prior to us coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus, we were pressed into the mold of the world. We just were. And we didn't have the mind of Christ then. We did whatever we could to try to fit in with the world. You know it's true, we did. I was not athletic growing up, but I was under intense pressure to become that way, even though I didn't have the body for it. I couldn't. It was a source of constant frustration with me, I can tell you that. Our mind needs to be renewed, fourthly, because even after we are saved, the world keeps trying to press us into its mold. I mean, we know there is constant pressure at school, at work, sometimes even at home, especially if one has an unsaved spouse or a child growing up with unsaved parents. There's pressure at all the places that we normally are. There's pressure in the marketplace. Everywhere you find pressure. So how do we renew the mind? How do we renew the mind? The first thing, we got to recognize the source of renewal. In Psalm 51, verse 10, the psalmist David wrote, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. God's the one that can help us be renewed. Yeah, we're not renewed by determination to be renewed, though we do need determination. Okay, you can't say, "Well, I'm just going to be renewed." That's the equivalent of somebody saying, "I'm just going to turn over a new leaf." You know, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. Well, if that's all you got, that leaf's going to get turned back. It just is. We're not renewed by determination, but determination is needed. Another thing is we're not renewed by making an outward change, though we are renewed. When you are renewed, it will work itself into some outward manifestations in our lives. If you have had your mind renewed, it's going to affect the way you live your life. It will. It can't help but to do that. A third thing, we renew our mind, we need to surrender our all to God. He alone can renew us, and that's the importance of the first point that we had several weeks back when we started looking at this, approving the will of God. Present your body as a living sacrifice. That's surrender to God is what that is. Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." With all your mind. Okay? Surrender your mind to the Lord. So we recognize the source of renewal. Visualize the reward of renewal. In other words, what's in it for me? Why should I do this? Well, do you want peace in your life? Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." Listen. "Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." You want hope? Lamentations 3:21, "This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope." What did he recall to mind? He recalled to mind the goodness of the Lord. Yeah? If you don't have the goodness of the Lord in your mind, you're not going to have much hope, are you? There's a lot of the Word of God that will give us hope if we have had our mind renewed by the Word of God. Talking about proving the will of God. That's part of the reward of renewal. You will prove the will of God out in your life if you allow your mind to be renewed by God's Word and by God Himself. And, of course, becoming like Christ. We said that being transformed. So that transformation process is to become from us what we are to what Christ is. Amen. It's a slow process, but it is a process. And we should be more like Christ today than we were this time last year. I mean, if you're growing in the Lord, it just makes sense that you would be closer to the Lord. And if you're not closer to the Lord than you once were, well, who moved away? It wasn't him. No, you're the one that moved away. So become more like Christ. So we recognize the source of renewal. We visualize the reward of renewal. Utilize the resources God has given us for renewal. The Lord didn't leave us to ourselves, did He? No, He gave us resources. We have the Holy Spirit living inside. John 16:13, Jesus said, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth." Look at Psalm 119. We got the Word of God, don't we? And we're just going to read a few of these verses here in Psalm 119. But let me encourage you to read, go back and read the whole thing, because the whole thing is about the Word of God. And we're not going to take time to read all of the verses tonight. The longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. But we will read verses 9 through 16 here. And it talks about this resource of the Word of God that will help us renew our mind. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way," verse 9, "by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Sadly, too many people forget the word of God. You know, we need to be in it on a constant basis. Not only we have the Holy Spirit, the word of God, we've got prayer. You know, Jesus encouraged his disciples in Matthew 26, in verse 41, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He told them, he said, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now, there's a lot of good truth right there. Amen. We watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. We know that temptation comes our way. How do we keep from entering into it? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Because our spirit, you know, I would dare say that every one of us tonight would say, "I don't want to fall for temptation," right? We would say that. Our spirit indeed is willing, but what's the problem? Our flesh is weak. Our flesh is still weak. And here's one that folks don't like to hear, but it's still in the Word, and that is the Lord has given us the resource of the local church. I'm not going to turn to 1 Corinthians 12 tonight, but you know 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the members of the body, talking about us being all members of one body, and how each member has different function, and you can't say you have no need of the body, and the body can't say it has no need of you. I mean, we need the members that we have, and we need them functioning properly. But just as a limb cannot function properly apart from the life-giving sources in the human body, so also a believer cannot function properly apart from being vitally connected with God's local church. And I believe that is why we see so much problem today. You know, people are quick to get out of church, and they're not quick to get back in church. May God help us to realize how much harm we're doing to ourselves when we separate ourselves from the local church. Recognize the source of renewal. Visualize the reward of renewal. Utilize the resources God has given us for renewal. And then here, this is real important. Replace wrong thinking with right thinking. A couple of places I want you to turn, and we'll be quickly done here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Second Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5 here. Give you just a second to get there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Let's look at verse number 3. "For though we walk in the flesh," last time I checked, we're all still walking in the flesh. Yeah. "We do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." I mean, the things that we just talked about. Holy Spirit, Word of God, prayer, the local church. Those are the mighty things. Verse 5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So, that means you got to recognize wrong thinking and get it out of your thinking. Replace it with the right thinking. Amen. That's what he's talking about. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Philippians. You're there. You're just a few pages away. Philippians in chapter number 4 and verse number 8. Philippians 4, verse number 8. Familiar passage. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true," that'll eliminate a lot of stuff in our day and time, wouldn't it? Sure would. "Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure," you just eliminated a lot more right there. "Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Wow. That's a lot, isn't it? True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, and praise. Think on those things. So We got to replace wrong thinking with right thinking. Well, how do we do that? Well, make sure you delight in the Word of God. We just finished Psalm 1, and I can't think of, you know, what you come away with from Psalm 1 is you need to delight in the Word of God. If you're going to be blessed in your life, you need to delight in God's Word, and that's what we need to do. Get a grip. Number two, get a grip on the Word of God. Not only delight in it, get a grip on it by reading it, hearing it, studying it, memorizing it, meditating on it. What else can we do for, you know, rightly dividing it? Amen. We need to get a grip on the Word of God. And then number three, let the Word of God get a grip on you. Boy, that's important. It's not good enough just to know the Word of God. Obey it. If you let it affect your thinking, then it will affect your living. So tonight, are you being conformed to this world, or are you being transformed? Are you feeding the flesh, or are you feeding the Spirit? We need to quit dabbling in the world and get serious about having our mind renewed. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight.